on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
I'm your host, Cody Vanciulello.
Woo, Cody, that was a very, very fun game. The Cyclones win by 19, but the score, like this score is not indicative of how really, really much of a blowout this game was. At one point, the Cyclones were almost up by like 27 at one point. But Baylor went on a run like the last 10 minutes of the game, but it honestly really didn't matter at all. So what are your thoughts on that?
In the first half of the game, by halftime it was an 8-point deficit. But if you're an Iowa State fan, you never felt like the game was in question because the defense was just doing so well. They held Baylor overall to 29% shooting from the field and 24% shooting from three. Now that is way below the average of Baylor, and Baylor's usually like one of the them and Iowa State, they're like the two best offenses in the Big 12. But Iowa State's defense proves to just be overwhelming against Baylor, and Baylor did not have a great game shooting the basketball, and it's very like against like their character. I mean, you had Norchad Omier only go 1-7 from three. Jeremy Roach was 4-7 from three. A couple of those did come in like late in garbage time, so that might be a little misleading. But I mean, you still had solid production from Jeremy Roach and Josh Ojuanwuna, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But those two were producing, and then you also had Robert Wright the third coming off the bench with 10 points. Outside of that, Baylor was way below their average when it comes to production. For Iowa State, you had a balance, like once again, you saw a really good balance of points from your A-man rotation. Obviously, Keyshawn Gilbert led the way with 16 points, but you saw a nice game out of Milan Momcilovic. He went 4-7 from three for 15 points and hit a couple free throws. And so did Joshua Jefferson, Deshaun Jackson. They were 75% from the free throw line. Keyshawn Gilbert was 4-6 from the free throw line, so it's still something to work on. The free throws are something that still need to work on, but the defense was really what was giving Iowa State a lot of good chances to really keep Baylor at bay.
The defense was elite, man. Like, it was just the pressure that they had. Baylor couldn't handle it, man. And one of the funny stats of the game, I don't know if, and this was on the TV broadcast, I believe it said like 14 misses. And then it said the number of the degrees outside, 14. I was like,
oh
man,
oh that graphic. Oh yeah. That was the graphic when it said it was cold outside and inside, where it was like it was at one point where Baylor was 14-52. And it was 14 degrees out. So yeah, good thing we have basketball now, so that we don't have to worry about freezing my ass off at an Iowa State sporting event.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad it's not at a football game. Jeez. But yeah, man, Joshua Jefferson, man, continues just to prove that he is the glue for this team, man. He has made such a difference and is that inside presence that Iowa State has needed and that what we've been looking for.
I mean, once again, yeah, Joshua Jefferson continues to be one of the best bigs. And I mean, we've seen the comparison of him being compared to like the best like four since Royce White with the way he's able to score and distribute the ball. And then just recently, it was announced that Joshua Jefferson once again won Big 12 Newcomer of the Week. So he's continuing to get those individual accolades, but it's a great spark for Iowa State, who kind of, that was the thing that Iowa State needs, is bigs who can score the ball. Because that was like the one thing that was a weakness, and we mentioned this repeatedly, but it shows you the importance of having strong bigs that can score the ball. Without it, you can't really go as far because you were kind of limited with your scoring options. Because obviously the first year, TJ, if you had either Tyrese Hunter or Isaiah Brockton go cold, you needed to just play so well on defense. You could only, you would win games by like 47 to 38 or things like that. And if you were being boat raced, you didn't really have much of a chance to really keep up in the boat race. But Iowa State can do that, but also they continue to have that great defense where they can win a slugfest. And that's something that this team has proven that can be a way for them to get to the Final Four, is winning in multiple ways. Uh-huh. But we saw in the Colorado game, that was a kind of a slugfest. You were just back and forth, and you just needed to gut out a win. Here against Baylor, you were the ones that were ahead in the boat race. Baylor was never back in the boat race at all. You just took the ball, you took the lead from the start, and you never really gave it up.
Right. And one of the other things I like is that they can all, like, and something that I haven't seen with this Iowa State basketball team in my time watching them, is that they can play any type of style. They can play that fast tempo type of style that Auburn likes to play. We lost by basket there. And like you said, the other two instances, playing slow or playing slow down, we can play that too. We can outrun a team, outgun a team. And I just wanted to bring up a few other points. First point is, I looked at the numbers, the bigs for us, all three, Chatfield, Jackson, and Jefferson, they scored a total of 19 points for us during this game. So like you said, during a Final Four run, everyone needs to contribute. And the fact that the big three has had 19 points, our bigs had 19 points, that's a great, great sign, man. And Brant Chatfield is just continuing to emerge as a guy who we can count on for a basket and play elite defense and show great effort out there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for Branson Chatfield, he continues to get you a couple of offensive rebounds. I mean, he had four total rebounds, and two of them being offensive, and it led to one of them led to a tip in two, and then the other led to a foul. So, I mean, if you can get guys that can consistently like be down in the paint, get you offensive rebounds, get you second chance points, those will be the kind of plays that can separate you in March.
Definitely. Yeah, man. So with that, I think we're going to put Baylor in the rearview mirror. I do want to talk about today's matchup with Utah. I'm going to go and do that. We're going to look at Utah. And I realized this was a home game. I don't know why I thought it was an away game. But
you might have been thinking about the Texas Tech game, perhaps.
That's probably what it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because now with this new Big 12, you don't have really a bye week. You got like these two games a week type of deals. I mean, we saw last week with Colorado and Baylor. Now you get Utah and Texas Tech. And right with the schedule, I mean, I'm looking at our schedule here. After this Utah game, you probably get you got a pretty decent stretch for Iowa State, because after this Utah game, you go at Texas Tech on Saturday. Then you host Kansas next Wednesday. Then you're at West Virginia. You do get to host UCF. So that's kind of a break. You do go to the Arizona schools, which, I mean, a trip to Arizona is never easy. But, I mean, those are two beatable teams. Then you end this stretch with a home game versus Kansas State and at Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah. So I think for me, this three-game stretch coming up after Utah is going to be crucial, man. It's going to be crucial. Like, this is going to tell me if this team is, you know, if we really think that this team is going to go to the Final Four, or if they're as good as we think, these are the type of games that we need to win, man. Like, going on the road against Tech is going to be tough, but we got to go out there, win it. I think this team has a mentality like even Keyshawn, they are all locked in right now. I don't think I've ever seen a team this locked in. So I am very, very confident that the team will get it done. But I mean, we got to see West Virginia now, like with the way they've been playing lately. I'm interested to see how they respond going to West Virginia, which has always been a tough place for Iowa State to play. And, you know, obviously KU beat UCF by 51 points, which is insane. Everybody's been questioning Kansas, but with them, I mean, I'm very, very excited to see our bigs against Hunter Dickinson. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be them, and then Zeke Mayo, he could get hot. So
yeah, I mean,
that's going to be a great matchup next week, man. I'm looking forward to the KU game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, before that, obviously, we have to talk about Utah, and then we might have to talk about Texas Tech a little bit while we're here. I mean, this Utah team, I mean, I watched their game against Texas Tech. It was at home, and oh boy, they did not look impressive. Texas Tech was getting just about whatever they wanted against Utah. Texas Tech went 58.6% from the field. They were 46% from three. They only committed five turnovers. And, I mean, they were pretty even on rebounding. But, I mean, looking here, I guess your best players, like, in that game, those were off the bench. Mm-hmm. You had Zach Keller, Keanu Dawes, and Jake Wallen go for double-digit points. Meanwhile, your starting five in that game didn't even crack double digits. The closest you got was former Baylor Bear Caleb Lohner with 9 points, 20 minutes. I mean, Mason Madsen had 12. He had 12 minutes, but he didn't. He only got two rebounds in that game, only put up 1 3. So he was pretty shut down by the Texas Tech defense. And then Mike Sharaf Jamps, number 25 for them, had 26 minutes. He went 3 of 10 from the field, only 8. So I just don't know. Like, I can't underestimate anyone in the Big 12, but
yeah,
nothing jumps out to me as impressive outside of Gabe Madsen, perhaps, because he's their best offensive player, putting up 16.5 points per game with a 42.7% of field goal shooting. So I don't know what, I can't exactly gauge Utah, because I mean, they're in a 3-game losing streak. They lost against Iowa, and then they lost at Baylor 81-56, and then lost versus Texas Tech 93-65. So I don't know. This should be like Iowa State. As long as they continue to play their brand of basketball, they should be able to take care of business against Utah. Yeah. And really get things, like, iron things out before you have to go to Texas Tech.
Definitely, man. This is a game where you should iron things out. This really game shouldn't really be a struggle at all. Obviously, you know, some of the Iowa State fans that are worried and are nervous wrecks will be like, man, this is a classic game that Iowa State loses. But, like, we got to come in with the mentality. I think TJ is going to have these boys ready to play. I do think, like, if this game was 2 years ago, this is definitely a game that we would lose. Mm-hmm. But I think with the talent that we have, I don't think that we lose this game. I just think, like I said, I think they're locked in on another level. So I think that we win this game going away by a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, to talk about 2 years ago, this does give me a little a reminder of the Oklahoma State game at Hilton from 2 years ago when that team got swept. I think, yeah, it's a matter of the talent disparity, but also just, yeah, just the championship level mentality that the guys have. Because in even these press conferences, you see the way that DeSean Jackson, Keyshawn Gilbert, Milan Matulovic, and Curtis Jones, how they talk about, like, preparations and things like that. So they've all bought into TJ. They've all bought into the coaching that's gone on at Iowa State. So even with Keyshawn Gilbert even said, like, the way they beat Baylor, Keyshawn Gilbert said that was just like business as usual. They didn't really like celebrate over that. They expect to win these games, and that's what you'd like to see out of your team. Like you should come out and you expect to win these games. So for them to do that against Baylor, I believe that they might do worse against, they might put a worse ass whooping on Utah than they get against Baylor.
I agree.
So, and just the way, like, Curtis Jones, even his press conference says, he winning is fun. Like, to quote him, like, he knows, like, he wants to win a lot of time, actually every time. So that's what he said. Like, that's what kind of gives them a chip on their shoulders. Like, they don't want to experience that feeling of losing, because that's never fun. So if they keep preparing the way they are, the boys are going to have a lot of fun.
I'm just saying, like, I love that mentality. Business as usual, winning is fun, losing sucks. Like, this is the team that we have wanted, man. Like, this is something that more than I could have asked for this team. Now, let's, you know, you can say all that, but let's go and see. Let's see if they can go out and do it. I think they're definitely capable. And with every game we win, man, like, the more delusional I become.
But yeah. But I mean, there is substance, like, right. We've seen that, like, we've proven that we can win on the road against a tough team like Iowa. I mean, that's never a fun environment to play in. Like, that's never a fun arena to play against. And then you go at Colorado and you face some adversity there. So we'll see what this team is built like when they go on the road to like the Arizona schools, at West Virginia, at Houston for that matter, at Kansas Houston, State.
At K-State, yeah. At the Fog, man.
But I mean, according to KenPom, we are projected, like our only projected loss on KenPom is at Houston. So yeah. The metrics, the analytics are really favoring Iowa State with their play. So they really like this Iowa State team. I mean, being top 10 in offense and defense is that gets you a lot. And I mean, Brent Bloom the other day said, I think it was on Twitter or on their podcast, they talked about like the last two national champions being UConn. They were top 10 in offense and defense on KenPom. So Iowa State, if they continue this trend, they look to be a contender to win the national championship. And we talk about if I want to talk about contenders on national stage, I mean, this slate today is going to be really fun. Like, there's a good amount of games, top 25 matches to look out for, yes, and top 10 matchups.
Share that screen with us. Let's look at it.
Yeah. So, obviously, some people have, like, contested about, like, where teams were. I mean, the AP poll came out. Nothing changed in the top three. You still have Tennessee number one, Auburn number two, Iowa State number three. We can go into that later. But, yeah, here, the schedule for today. You have a top 10 SEC matchup between the Tennessee Volunteers and the Florida Gators at the Stephen O'Connell Center in Gainesville.
Hey, man, the Stephen O'Connell Center, man. That when Florida is good, they are rocking. Florida, I need you to do a favor for me, man. Beat those nasty Volunteers for me, please. Please. I am begging you.
I mean, Florida being a 3.5-point favorite, I mean, they're coming off a loss against Kentucky in a high-scoring shootout. So I think Florida's going to come in with that loss. They're going to be a little sour from that loss, and they're going to want to avenge it. And why not? There's not a better chance to do it than beating the number one team in the country, and what, still the only undefeated team in all college basketball, Tennessee. Now, the argument for Tennessee being number one, there's two sides to it. Obviously, you have them still being undefeated, so you can't really knock them for being undefeated. But also, if you look at their schedule, they are not exactly like a top caliber team when you look at what they do on the court. I mean, many people, there's a consensus talking about the top three teams in the country. Tennessee is not included in that. It's many people have had Auburn, Duke, and Iowa State in their top three. And then in the second tier right below them, you have Alabama, Marquette, and Tennessee. So this could be an opportunity for Tennessee to prove that they do, in fact, belong in that number one spot.
Yeah, and I think, with Duke, I think they might have a little bit of a test tonight with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has been pretty pesky this year.
Mm-hmm. And you know they want to avenge that loss at Cameron Indoor from last year. Was it the celebration from former Iowa State Cyclone Blake Henson or whatever?
Yep.
That dude, God, I remember watching them like, you know, I kind of wish we had him on our squad, but hey, I'll take what we have right now.
Yeah, dude. And then, look, this is a very, very weird line. Look at, if you want to look at the college, at West Virginia, Arizona on the road is a 3.5-point favorite.
I'm guessing that Arizona's metrics, like, even though they haven't had a really the best of year so far, they're still a solid team. Like, I think Arizona, they're starting to catch fire. I mean, they had that win over a ranked Cincinnati squad, and I think that has given the Arizona some momentum, and they can come into West Virginia. And now with West Virginia, there's like an indefinite status as to whether Tucker DeVries is going to come back or not, because he still hasn't came back fully from his injury. But I mean, in the meantime, Javon Small has stepped up, and so has Joe Yesufu.
Yeah, with all these former Drake players, it's going to be interesting to see how West Virginia, with these former Drake players, how they adjust to the Big 12 schedule.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, so that'll be huge to look at. And then number two, Auburn, they'll go to, I'm just scrolling through here, just some top matchups. I obviously have the number two team in the country, Auburn, traveling to the Moody Center to take on the Texas Longhorns. They're a 10.5-point favorite. I think Auburn, like, they're going to continue their role, and they're going to take care of business at the Moody Center. This Texas team is not the same one that we saw from 2 years ago, or the Chris Beard-led teams.
Right, yeah. So they may be a little step below what they were with Chris Beard. Another one that's right below Utah-Iowa State, that's, which I think can be interesting, Georgetown-Marquette. Georgetown has had a pretty good start this year. I wonder if they could give Marquette some trouble.
I mean, yeah. You look at that 12.5 point line. I mean, Marquette obviously has Cam Jones, who's undoubtedly like a candidate for the Wooden Award. So, I mean, if Cam Jones continues to perform like he has like throughout the year and continues to make those huge plays, Marquette can take care of business against Georgetown. But I think this game will be closer than expected, given how Georgetown has improved from last season.
Completely agree.
Let's see what else here. You've got a top 25 matchup between Michigan, UCLA. I mean, let's see if UCLA can continue its revival into being a viable basketball program. Or can Michigan like get back on track after some not so great years?
Yeah, they're back on track with what was the coach's name for UCLA? It was not Florida Atlantic. That's what it was.
Oh yeah, I don't remember his name. Oh yeah, Dusty, the coach who took FAU to the Final Four, or yeah. Dusty May.
Yeah, Dusty May. Yeah, Dusty May is doing a great job. He's the head coach at Michigan now. He's doing a great job there. Let's see if he can continue to complete that. And Mississippi State, man, they're also having a good year this year, too. They're on the road at Vanderbilt.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, that the SEC as a whole has, like, so many, like, very good teams. Look, if I look at the SEC, we can just briefly look at this real fast and – I mean, yeah, you've got a couple of great matches, obviously headlined by that top 10 matchup. But, I mean, the SEC has a lot of teams that are vying for a tournament. And some people are projecting them to have at least 10 teams in to March Madness, which I kind of wouldn't be surprised about. But we'll see how this conference slate plays. And for the Big 12, there are a couple matchups that we haven't mentioned yet. All of these will be on ESPN Plus, by the way, with the time slated right here. These are our local times, so they may be different depending on where you're listening to this from. But you also have Cincinnati at Baylor. Both teams are looking to rebound after some losses. Cincinnati having a not great loss at home. And then Baylor, obviously, after getting ass blasted by the Cyclones. So we'll see how that goes. Can Cincinnati get back on track? Because, I mean, Cincinnati was preseason projected to be a top team of the Big 12. And up to this point, they haven't really lived up to the hype. But we'll see what they do at the Foster Pavilion. You also have Case Kansas State traveling to Stillwater to take on the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Oh boy, this Oklahoma State team has just been ugly.
But look who is the favorite. Oklahoma State is a 2.5-point favorite. That's crazy. That's probably been a minute since they've been a favorite in a basketball game.
Hold on. I saw, what was it, Cole Converse or somebody said on Twitter. Yeah, it was like Cole. For the first time post-COVID, Oklahoma State is a favorite in a Big 12 basketball game. How bad do you have to be projected to be the underdog against Oklahoma State?
It's insane, bro. Like, those, yeah, they used to be such a respectable program. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Was it the Marcus Smart era?
Yeah.
I mean, even with Kay Cunningham, that was still a respectable program.
Right.
God, I still remember from time to time watching, like, the... Was it the Nas Long buzzer beater tying three? Was that against Oklahoma State?
That was against Oklahoma State, yeah. I believe it was Keaton Page?
Maybe.
Yeah, Keaton Page, I think he missed it, and then that was me and Eric were in college, yeah. 2013, that was the 2013.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We missed, what was it, a free throw?
Yeah, they missed a free throw, and then Naz hit it to take it to overtime, and then we won in overtime. And then,
jeez.
Yeah, those games went to overtime that year. We won at Gallagher, Iowa, and then we won in overtime there.
I will say, the seating in that, like, with that being so close, I wish I could have been, like, at like in the student section at that time when it was just so much closer. But I'm not complaining at all. I'm not mad at all.
Volleyball was a crazy time.
Jeez. Yeah. And then we get Texas Tech at BYU. Now, BYU, obviously, they're not they're still a solid roster. They're not the same roster that we saw last year under Mark Pope. Obviously, that's going to happen when you have a coaching change and you get a couple players like Lee that were under like Mark Pope and that followed him.
Yeah. But go ahead, bro.
Yeah. But I mean, you hire a coach, like, and I mean, what I've heard from BYU is that they have a coaching staff that, like, they have a bunch of assistants that have experience in the NBA. So what I'm looking at out of this BYU program is they're preparing their guys for not just life in basketball, but life outside of basketball, and then how to get, like, and then what be, how you get yourself a chance to get to the NBA. That's what I'm hearing from the camp in Provo, but correct me on that.
Yeah. So I know, like, people in Provo didn't feel good about the loss to Houston, but, like, I also reminded them, like, you guys, Houston is, you gotta remember, Houston won the league last year. Houston knows what it takes. It took him a while to move on from Jamal Shedd, but Houston is in form now. Like, they are battle-tested. Like you said, they lost to two of the top six teams in the nation. So Houston is rolling into form right now.
Yeah, Houston's riding a 7-game win streak. So, I mean, yesterday, they took care of business against TCU. They shot 42. They held, like, we talk about defense. Houston's defense on this night was crazy. They held TCU to 16.7% shooting from the perimeter. They held them a 3 of 18.
That's disgusting.
They forced 19 turnovers. Now, Houston turned the ball over 10 times, but they forced 19 turnovers against TCU, and they scored 16 points off turnovers. So that defense is still there. They still have one of the best defenses in the country.
I am so looking forward to that matchup on February
20th. At the Fertitta Center? No.
It's going to be nuts. It's probably going to be something close to what, like, last year's game was, except that we have a better offense. But
yeah, I mean, it's just going to come down. Literally, the two matches against Houston last year just came down to who threw the first punch. Yep. I mean, and the home teams did it both times. They both home teams went on long runs, and they never looked back after.
Yeah, this is insane. I really, really hope we see that there, and hopefully we get to see part two in the championship game again in the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, not much else. Like, you're obviously for men's basketball, that's going to be the main thing. I'm trying to think if anything else is going to be coming up for Iowa State athletics. Nothing off the top of my head right now. I would have to see. Just looking around here. But, I mean, it's winter break. Just continue to do things and, yeah.
Anything fun or anything crazy?
Actually, now I'm just seeing it. Yeah. So the other day, obviously, the ladies, like, we didn't mention this on the previously, but the ladies in the past week, they play against Utah. Unfortunately, they fell short against them. Utah was just shooting lights out from the perimeter. Like, the defense, like, Iowa State has not had the best, like, defensive year. I mean, we saw this against UConn. We now saw this against Utah. Teams can exploit our lack of, like, defense on the perimeter.
What do you think? Do you think this is a result of the youth of this team, or do you think they just can't live up to the pressure of being ranked top 10?
I mean, they're still, like, the youth, obviously. I think the preseason ranking really threw off, like, my expectations of the team. Because, I mean, what I saw out of the youth, I was hoping, like, they grow and whatnot. Like, they would have grown from that first freshman year or whatever. And something just doesn't feel right. I mean, we still have not been able, like, the team is, like, they're still young. I mean, we're talking a bunch of, like, sophomores and things like that. Freshmen and sophomores and things like that. So, still, it's not the end of the world, but it has been a kind of disappointing to just see, like, the way the season has played out. Just giving up threes against UConn. Well, like, I mean, it's UConn, so that's a thing to think about, like, so take that with a grain of salt, because you're going against one of the top teams. I mean, that non-con schedule was by design, taking on three of the final four teams last year. That was by design. That means that you should be able to do much better in your conference schedule, and they haven't done that just yet. But, I mean, accolade-wise, Audie Crooks has the fastest woman in Iowa State history to reach 1,000 points. She reached that mark in 49 games versus Ashley Jones, who completed in 64 games. And currently, Audie Crooks is one of three sophomores to, like, is one of three players to have reached 1,000 points by their sophomore year. She joins the list. She joins Hannah Hidalgo of Notre Dame and Juju Watkins of USC to have reached the 1,000-point marker as sophomores. So, for the ladies, there's still a lot of season to go. I would, like, maybe my expectations have been hampered a little bit just because everything that's happened. But I'm just hopeful that they can right the ship. Still, I mean, there's a lot of Big 12 play to go. But being 1-2 in a very competitive Big 12, I mean, Kansas State, TCU, and Utah are all undefeated. And then Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Baylor, Arizona, and Arizona State are all 2-1. So Iowa State, if they want to really get to the tournament, they're going to have to start winning games like now. They're going to have to start winning.
The sense of urgency is there for the women. The men, let's hope that they can continue their stride and ascension into one of the top teams in the nation. So thank you guys for joining us on the Believe in Iowa State podcast. We can be found on Twitter. I'm at SciTyGuy, Cody at Matt Campbell Impersonator. We can be found on our five forms of social media on X, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. So for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Vanciello.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Let's go State.